message, things will get better.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Barack Obama has gotten used to describing this economic fallout with some pretty somber language. But last night, before a joint session of Congress, he presented words of hope that with some tough decisions to make, the economy will improve, that with American resolve, things will get better. And one former White House economic advisor says the president pointed at least some of the blame in one direction.
I don't think he was sending a Valentine to Wall Street. I think he actually spent probably too much time focusing on the rascals who've stolen money and stolen our confidence and so on.
Todd Buchholz worked for the first President Bush. He says Mr. Obama contradicted himself a bit, seeming positive about solutions, but finding those answers in government programs.
Now, he claimed, he said, not because I believe in bigger government, he said, I don't. But in fact, if you follow the rest of his speech, it does sound like he believes in big government.
It wasn't the anticipation of Mr. Obama's speech before Congress that got markets rallying yesterday. It was the Fed chief Ben Bernanke's comments about a potential economic recovery that got things moving. The Dow gained more than 236 points, about 3.33%. NASDAQ and S&P shares gained as well. Europe is up 1 to 2%. Asia closed higher 1 to 3%. Well, the president's been burned twice with his picks for Commerce Secretary. One pulled out under a cloud of investigation. The other cited ideology. Today, we hear about choice number three. Gary Locke, the former governor of Washington, is Chinese-American. That may come in handy in his new job, promoting business ties with that giant consumer market known as China. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
Part of the Commerce Secretary's job is to sell corporate America abroad. Gary Locke should be all warmed up. As governor of Washington, he came to China often to promote firms like Boeing, Microsoft, and Starbucks. If Starbucks' ubiquity in Shanghai is any indicator, Locke succeeded. Jack Marr teaches business at New York University. He says Locke's resume and his Chinese ethnicity give him a cultural credibility that will open doors in China.
It makes the beginning of a negotiation much smoother because you have a common cultural ground. I mean, this is not to say that the two sides are going to agree about everything or anything at all, but it facilitates dialogue.
If confirmed, Locke will keep coming to China. It's the U.S. second biggest trading partner after Canada. And despite this recession, U.S. multinationals want in so they can hook the emerging middle class here on American Buicks and Barbies and Big Macs. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
So, what would a bankruptcy look like for GM? Bloomberg reports that for some bankers and lawyers, it could be a big payday. A UCLA professor's analysis shows that GM entering bankruptcy would create a $1.2 billion bonanza in fees that would dwarf the $900 million in judge-approved charges related to the Lehman Brothers collapse. A GM spokesman declined to comment on potential bankruptcy fees.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting Women Heart and its efforts to address the number one killer of women in the United States, heart disease. MedtronicFoundation.org. American Public Media presents Repossessing Virtue. Engage with wise voices on the economic downturn from moral and ethical perspectives at speakingoffaith.org.
We heard this week that American Express is offering some cardholders $300 if they pay off their balances and close their accounts. In this fallout, defaults are up. Cardholders are having a tough time paying their bills. So let's bring in columnist David Lazarus from the Los Angeles Times. David, Amex and all the others, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, they give the consumer buying power. Yeah, the card companies charge these fees and increase interest rates, but it is their money. Why are they the bad guys in all of this?
Okay, look, credit card companies, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say they're offering these loans to consumers and they're charging a fair rate and blah, blah, blah. We all know better. Every one of us has had an experience of having some late fee attached for some niggling little charge or seeing their rates going up for no reason. Citigroup just sent out letters to millions of people saying rates could go up to as much as 30% if you miss a single payment. Chase has just announced that they're tacking a monthly fee on all cards that have been carrying a balance for quite some time. Why are they doing that? Because they bet wrong on the housing market primarily, and they're passing along the cost to customers.
David, there are a whole host of companies that are out to help people with their credit. One just started this month called helpwithmycredit.org. You're skeptical about some of these companies. Why is that?
Well, helpmycredit.org, let's give it the benefit of the doubt and say that it's a very well-intended site, and anything that teaches people how to be better users of plastic, that's a good thing. That said, this effort from the credit card companies to try to show themselves to be friends of the consumers, well, it rings a little bit hollow. It's sort of like Philip Morris having a website saying they care about kids smoking cigarettes, or Chevron having a website saying they care about the environment, which both these companies do, but their priorities are a little different, let's face it. If the credit card companies really care about helping people not default, stop jacking up people's interest rates.
Why is there such a proliferation of these credit card assistant programs? It seems like this is big business now.
Well, it's big business because we have record levels of consumer debt nearing $1 trillion. That's big money, and there's a lot of companies that recognize that. Moreover, we're in a climate where your FICO score, your credit score, can ripple out through the entire economic spectrum of your financial dealings, and a lot of people are aware of that, although they don't know what to do about it. Hence, you get all of these firms that step up and say, don't worry, your pretty head. We can help you with that. Now, sometimes, like reputable credit counselors, that's a good thing. What they'll do is work with you to try and restructure your debt. They'll negotiate with some of the creditors and see if they can perhaps bring down the principal that's owed and work out a monthly schedule where you can pay your bills. That's a good thing. Then there's so-called credit repair services or debt settlement services, which say that if you give us a big fee up front, we're going to protect you from all those nasty creditors and, in fact, improve your credit score. By and large, those guys tend to be ripoffs, and I would advise people to steer clear.
David Lazarus, columnist with the Los Angeles Times. David, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, check out our website, the numbers, podcasts, and our online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, inside marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.